Hare Krishna. So we have completed chapter 7, Bhagavad Gita, which is titled as The Knowledge of the Absolute. We have seen each shloka in detail. Now let's see the entire chapter, chapter number 7, at one go, all the shlokas together. So before we get into the chapter 7, let's understand the connection between the chapter 6 and chapter 7. So chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga. Krishna ended that chapter glorifying Bhakti Yoga, where he said, Yogi nam api sarvesham madgatenantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamamatah. So there he uses the word shraddhavan bhajate yomam. So he's saying that person with faith who abides in me, who renders devotional service unto me, is very, very dear to me. Now, to have faith on someone, complete faith on someone, we should have knowledge of that person. So that knowledge Krishna is giving in chapter number 7. In fact, he is giving this knowledge in the chapters coming after chapter 7. So chapter 7 till 12. And these chapters are actually the important chapters of Bhagavad Gita, because they are the part of the Bhakti Yoga chapters. In fact, very nicely, various acharyas have told that the actual substance of Bhagavad Gita are these middle 6 chapters. And one of them, the first one, is the 7th chapter that we are seeing. So let's see now how Krishna is giving knowledge to Arjuna in chapter 7. So in the first 3 verses, Krishna is actually telling the importance of the knowledge that he is going to give. He says, Jnanam. He is going to speak about his material and spiritual energies. Vijnanam, he's going to speak about his own Swarupa. And then finally in second shloka, he says that after knowing all this, you don't have anything more to be known. And then he talks about how rare it is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In shloka number 3, he's saying that there are thousands of human beings. Out of that, few endeavor for success. Out of that, few attain success or perfection. And from those people who have attained perfection, hardly one person knows me in truth. So this is how rare it is to know about Lord Sri Krishna. But then he is so merciful that he starts giving his own knowledge from shloka number 4 onwards. So here, from shloka number 4 to 12, Krishna is actually talking about his own energies. So shloka number 4, he talks about the 8 separated energies. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. These are the 8 separated energies of the Lord. So these are basically the material energies. And then in shloka number 5, he's saying that there is a superior energy of mine. Who are they? The living entities. And what are they doing? The superior energy is trying to exploit the inferior material energy. So in this way, in shloka number 4 and 5, Krishna is described about superior and inferior energies. Now moving ahead, in shloka number 6 and 7, Krishna is talking about how he is the maintainer. Firstly, in shloka number 6, he is talking about how he is the origin, that is Prabhava, and he is the destroyer, that is Pralaya. And in shloka number 7, he makes an explicit point that he is the maintainer. And in this shloka, he also clears how he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, Matta parataram na anyat. There is no one superior to me, Arjuna. This is the statement that Krishna has made here. That I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I am the maintainer of everyone. And he gave the analogy here. Hope you remember the analogy. It's like the pearls strung on the thread. So the pearls are lying on the thread. Similarly, this entire creation is actually lying on Krishna. Basically, Krishna is maintaining everyone. So, he is the creator, maintainer and destroyer. Now, after having said this, Krishna is talking about how he is the essence of everything. We understood that he is the cause of everything. But along with that, how he is the essence of everything. So, from shloka number 8 to 12, he is talking about this. So, first he says that I am the taste in water, rasoham apsu kaunteya. Then I am the light in the sun and moon. I am the pranava, omkara, in all the Vedic hymns. I am the sound in ether, I am the strength in man. And then he says that I am the original fragrance of earth, I am the heat and fire, I am the life of all that lives, I am the penance of all the austerities, ascetics. I am the bijam, I am the seed, I am the original seed of all existence, he says. And the intelligence of the intelligent, and the prowess of all the powerful men. I am the strength of strong, and I am the sex life which is not contradictory to the religious principles. And then he says that, I am everything in one sense, but then I am independent. He is the creator of three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, but then he is not under them. This is a very, very important statement that Krishna has made here. Now, after having said all these, from shloka number 13 onwards till 19, Krishna is talking about surrendering onto him. Initially, he describes that how each and every living entity in this world is under the clutches of three modes of material nature. They are bound by the three modes of material nature. And then he goes on to say in shloka number 14 that Daivi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya. He's saying all these three modes of material nature, the energy that you're seeing, is basically they're my energy. And you know, Arjuna, it's very difficult to cross them. So what is the way out? Mam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Just surrender on to me, I'll take care. I'll make sure that you cross these three modes of material nature, this bhavasagara. So this is the solution that Krishna gave in shloka number 14. Shloka number 15 and 16 were very nice. In shloka number 15, Krishna is talking about four categories of people who surrender onto him. What are those four categories? Artho, the ones who are distressed. Jigyasu, the inquisitive ones. Artharthi, the ones who need some material gains. And Jnani, the one who is in search of absolute truth. And there are four other categories who don't surrender onto Krishna. Who are they? First is Mudha. Mudha is grossly foolish. Second, Naradhama, lowest of mankind. Mayaya Apratagyanaha, the ones whose knowledge is stolen by the illusory potency of the Lord. And Asuram Bhavam Ashrita, the fourth category, who are openly atheistic. So Krishna is saying that these four categories can never surrender unto me. So in this way, he spoke about the four categories who surrender and four categories who don't surrender. Now after that, from shloka number 17 to 19, Krishna is saying that the four categories who actually surrender unto me, all of them are really nice. Why? Because they are approaching me. They are magnanimous. But O Arjuna, out of all four of them, Jnani, the one who is in full knowledge of me, who does not have any material desires, such a person is very, very dear to me. This is what he has spoken from shloka number 17 to 19. And in 19, there is a very important point that he is making. That Jnani is very, very dear to me. He is rare. But then, after many, many lifetimes, such a person in knowledge actually surrenders on to me, becomes a nice devotee. So he makes a point that a pure devotee is even more rare as compared to a person in knowledge, Jnani. Now, from shloka number 20 onwards, 20 to 25, Krishna is talking about the demigod worship and impersonalism. Here Krishna is hammering literally for demigod worshippers. So from shloka number 20 to 23, Krishna is talking about how the demigod worshippers are less intelligent. Why? Because their intelligence is stolen by material desires. And then he also makes a very nice point that I am the one who gives faith to the worshipper to worship particular demigod. And I am the person who empowers the demigod to give benediction. Or I am the one who gives benediction through the demigods. So I am the one who gives faith to the worshipper to worship the demigod. And I am the one who gives benediction through the demigods to the worshippers. So Krishna is there on both the sides. So this is what very nicely he has told in shloka number 21, 22. And in 23, he makes a very strong point. He says that men with small intelligence, they are the ones who worship the demigods. Why? Because the demigods are temporary, the demigod planets are temporary, and the person who is worshipping the demigod is temporary. The results given by the demigods to the worshipper is also temporary. So aspiring for something temporary, only a less intelligent person can do. This is what is the point that he has made. And he says, the worshipper of demigod goes to the planet of demigod, which is temporary. But worshipper of Krishna goes to the planet of Krishna, which is permanent. So this is what is a statement that Krishna has made in shloka number 23. Now 24 and 25. So till now he was telling that demigod worshippers are less intelligent. Now Krishna is talking about unintelligent people. They are the impersonalists. So here in shloka number 24, Krishna is saying that those people who are unintelligent, they actually feel avyaktam vyaktimapannam, that I was impersonal before and now I have assumed a form. And such people, shloka number 25, he says, for such people, I never manifest in front of them. He makes it very clear. In front of them, I will never manifest. I am always covered by my internal potency or yoga maya shakti. Now, towards the end, from shloka number 26 to 30, Krishna is actually taking us, you know, from one point to another. Delusion by maya to devotion to Krishna. These are the verses which talks about it. So first, in 26th shloka, he is talking about that how curtain is there wherein the other people, the less intelligent, foolish people, they are not able to see Krishna, but Krishna sees everyone. He knows the past, present and future. And then he says that how the living entity, in shloka number 27 and 28, he is very clear where he is saying that how the living entities are completely in delusion, which arises from the dualities of Ichha and Dvesha, desire and hatred. And then he goes on to say that who can practice bhakti? The ones who are pious, who have lived a pious life and whose all sense are eradicated. Such people can actually practice bhakti with great determination. And here, you know, in this particular verse, we made a statement saying that all of us, maybe we might be sinful, we might have lived our life completely in a sinful way, but then we have a hope. Taking shelter of a pure devotee is what is the hope. And once we do that, that pure devotee will take care of everything. And we are very fortunate. A pure devotee in our life is Srila Prabhupada, the Acharya of this age of Kali, who literally delivered so many people all around the world, and he's continuing to do that through his teachings, which are given in his books and his audio lectures. And in shloka number 29 and 30, Krishna is talking about people who are mokshakami bhakta, the ones who are actually aspiring for moksha, to get rid of this birth and death, to get rid of the old age. It's basically the cycle of janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, the ones who want to get rid of it, tired of it, so they want to get rid of it. So what do? They take shelter of Krishna. And finally, in shloka number 30, at the end, Krishna is talking about himself, that how he is Adi Bhuta, Adi Daiva, Adi Yajna, and how at the time of death, anyone who remembers him actually goes back to him. So this point is very nice to understand. But then in shloka number 30, it's almost incomplete. Krishna didn't describe much about himself. He didn't elaborate on what is this Adi Bhuta, Adi Daiva, then Adi Yajna. All these things he didn't elaborate, because he's keeping that for the next chapter. So in this way, Krishna has completed speaking all these 30 verses. And surely, these 30 verses actually brings in a lot of transformation in the life of the reader, a life of a listener, if it is heard and read very, very attentively. A lot of things Krishna has mentioned about himself. And just by knowing about Krishna, associating with Krishna is all pure, we will also get purified. So this particular chapter, chapter number 7, the first chapter of the section called Bhakti Yoga, is a very, very important one, which actually sets the platform to understand the future chapters. So let's see chapter number 8 from next video onwards, shloka by shloka, And let's see how Krishna describes these different words. Adi Bhuta, Adi Daiva, Adi Yajna, and so on. So let's see that in the next video. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.